with energy work and energy healing, like, we're not healing you, right? Your body is the ultimate healer. We're just helping, like a mechanic on a car, to just kind of move around some energy or blocks so that your body gets to function optimally and help you feel your best.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad that you have come back to join us today and to listen in. I have been just so blessed as I've started this podcast to meet so many really wonderful people. And this particular gal that I'm bringing to you today actually reached out to me, and I was so honored and thrilled to get that email to say, you know what, I'd like to share my story and I'd like to be on your podcast so that we can continue the mission that I have here to provide hope for those who are struggling with addictions and hope for those that are watching others around them struggle with their addictions and eating disorders. So today, Sarah Spears joins us today, and she's been trained as a licensed marriage and family therapist. But what I'm super excited to share with you today is what she's currently doing, practicing alternative energy healing, energy medicine. And if you don't know much about that, just stay tuned, because we're going to share with you today what that's all about and why I'm excited about it, why she's so excited about it, because she's seen, as well as I have seen, that, you know, traditional treatment for eating disorders and disorders, I mean, they are, in addictions, you know, there's some great programs out there. And they're always, I've just seen in my years that there seems to be something missing that, and I've also seen that in traditional medicine, because if you listen, you know, I am a nurse and have that background. So medicine's great, but there's like something else. And that's kind of what I'm all about, is that I'm always wanting to learn. There's always something else. And so as I've been introduced to different type of energy work and energy medicine, and been involved with my daughter and her recovery, I believe that there's some value in learning about this, because I think that this can be part, there's a little bit of a missing piece. So before I continue to talk, Sarah Spears, welcome today. I'm so thrilled that you're here with me.
Thank you. I'm truly happy and honored to be here.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I always do in the beginning, as we get started. And as I say, you know, everybody's got a story. And what I love about many of those that are helping in this world of eating disorders and addictions is that they have a story themselves of their own struggle and how they've gotten through it. And because of that, they just have a true heart to help others that are struggling. So I know that's part of your story. So why don't we start from the beginning? Let's hear your story of how this began for you and your story and how it's brought you up to today.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that our stories are part of what we're here to share. And part of our purpose is to just be able to tell them, because that alone can be healing. And I know for myself, my story really didn't start in terms of eating disorder until my mid-20s, which is sort of uncommon, but I slid into sort of orthorexia and then anorexia and then bulimia in my 20s when I had moved across country and decided to, you know, go on a diet. And I was trying to be a little more strict with my eating. And the next thing I knew, it just kind of got a hold of me. And I was just finding myself in the depths of this disorder and didn't know how to get out of it. And so I spent about 6 years struggling with bulimia. And for me, it was something that I kept secret. So I was so ashamed that I was struggling. I didn't really seek help, and I was determined to get better on my own. And that probably extended my suffering a little bit, but it forced me to start to really explore a number of healing modalities. And so I eventually decided that I wanted to go back to school to be trained as a therapist so I could help other women who were struggling. But the truth is, when I went back to school, I was still struggling. I was still having episodes. It wasn't nearly as bad as it had been, but it was still affecting me. And I think part of me wanted to go to school to help myself, to kind of learn what I needed to know to get better. And then through that process, you know, even as I got trained in different modalities and worked at eating disorder centers, I was still struggling, and I noticed clients were still struggling to a certain degree. And I just felt really frustrated that despite everything I knew, despite all my training, like I was still having these, for me, what I perceived as, you know, failures or moments of just like really messing up. And I was so mad at myself, but I was also determined to understand what I was missing. And so eventually I kind of left all of my work because I knew I had to commit to getting better 100% before I could really do good work to help others. And that led me to try all sorts of alternative modalities. And eventually I found different energy work techniques like emotional freedom technique and Reiki. And through using those, I found in a matter of 6 months that I totally transformed, and I felt like myself again. I felt like I had fully reclaimed myself and my power back from food, and I wasn't having to use willpower. And I just felt this sense of like wholeness and happiness that I had been longing for, you know, this whole time. And it also allowed me to really uncover some of the things at the root or in the subconscious programming and emotional wounds and energy blocks and all of these things I had no clue were affecting me. And these are kind of what I call the missing links that I love to now educate women and, you know, kind of take them through my process of being able to, for themselves, uncover what's below the surface, what's underlying my struggle. Because it's always about so much more than food, and it's about more than your body, right? Those are sort of just how the primary issues show up in your life, is through the addiction or through the disorder. But that's, you know, just one layer. And so now that's kind of my mission, is to teach women all the energy work modalities to be able to experience the same sort of freedom that I was able to.
Yeah, I think it's... Again, I think it's great, and I'm excited to talk more about that. But I wanted to speak to a couple of things that came up there too, is that I hear a lot is that you kept it a secret, you know, and not to say that all of us have, I think many of us have secrets, right, that we don't always share. But I hear that so often, that even a gal that I interviewed just recently, a 20-year secret. Like, what is, why, I don't know, why do you think that is? Or at least with you, why do you feel like, I mean, did you move away from your family when you said you moved across country?
Right.
Was it easy to keep the secret? Like, why was it a secret? Or why did you choose to have it?
Yes. Now? For me, there were a few reasons. And this is why I am so passionate about speaking up about my story, is to let women know there is no shame. And it's okay to speak your truth. For me at the time, one, I was so attached to this perfectionist and my identity growing up as like just this girl who has everything together and is a good student and a good at work and all of these things. You know, I was attached to this identity of perfect. And this was completely opposite. Like, I'm the person who helps people. I'm not the person who has problems. Like, my pride, my ego was just unwilling to admit that I was struggling and suffering so, so badly. And I was really afraid of actually hurting my family. I was worried that my parents would worry so much about me that I wanted to protect them from having to have sleepless nights worrying about me. I didn't want to put that burden on anybody. And I also felt a lot of shame because of my profession. Because I was wanting to help people, because I was going to school to do this work, I felt like such a hypocrite. Like, if people knew I was struggling, they wouldn't let me work at this clinic. They wouldn't listen to what I was saying. And, you know, they say people who can't do teach. I felt like I really could understand the struggles that the people I was working with was going through, which gave me the ability to empathize and really, I think, help them in beautiful ways. And yet I was still struggling, and I didn't want any of that to be sort of taken from me. And I didn't want to be shamed or excluded from the work I wanted to do. And so because of that, I just kind of kept it all in. And now in hindsight, you know, I get to learn from sort of my journey, I recognize that when I finally started to tell the people around me, when I finally told my parents and my friends closest to me and sought help from professionals, like that is when the momentum and everything shifted positively for me, right? It was sort of like that took me to another level in my healing journey. And if I could go back in time and, you know, kind of tell the girl when she first started to get sick, like the biggest piece of advice would have been, you know, go get help and tell people like immediately. But that is exactly why I had made those choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did your family respond when you started to share with them?
Loving, supportive. Mm-hmm. I was worried they were going to freak out or tell me what to do, or, you know, they didn't at all. They just listened. Let me know they were there. You know, they of course wish I'd come to them sooner for the, you know, as you know, a parent never wants to see their child suffering, but yeah, it was really healing actually to be able to have the conversations with them.
Mm-hmm. And you were, you said you were in your early 20s, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so you were out on your own. And so, I mean,
right. I was on the other side of the country. So it's not like I saw them every day. You know, it was easy to hide it because I was not just in front of them all the time. We weren't eating meals together, right? There was this distance that made it easier to keep secret.
Right, right. Well, and you, again, when our daughter started to struggle, she was in high school. And so right here with us and again, not financially on her own and things like that. So it was, there's just a different dynamic there when, seeking help or encouraging them to get help. And like you said, being right in front of us, we could see, you know, we could see the struggle. So again, that's the answer that I was hoping that they would be, you know, loving and supportive. Cause again, that's all we, as a parent, I know that of a parent of four children, that's all we want is for our kids to be happy and just doing okay. And that they can live a good life. And, you know, I've changed my tune over the years that if, you know, I have great expectations for my children, but it's like, I say to them, I don't care what you're doing. As long as you're happy and you can be respectful of everybody and you can find something that makes you happy, that can get you out of bed in the morning.
Yes.
So I digress a little bit there. So, but let's talk about, again, I just truly believe as I've been introduced to EFT and to Reiki and cranial sacral and even just the pure form of meditation, which, you know, I started my podcast in the beginning and talked about my morning routine that I've developed over the years that has really helped me start my days out strong. And meditation is a big, big mm-hmm. part of that. And again, I'll say it that I was raised in a very conservative Christian home. And as I started to be exposed to energy healing, I mean, last night I went to a lilac healing. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's some really cool type of energy healing taught by a gal that's here locally that just opens, it's above your crown chakra. It was just so cool. So now I'm doing it all the time. You know, I love it. But when I was first introduced to it, again, I started to think about my upbringing and my, like, oh my gosh, when we talked, you know, it just didn't, it felt a little like, I don't know if this is the right thing. And is it really spirits that are the devil? And I just want to talk, I just want to throw a few of those things out because maybe people that are listening are going to be like, wait a minute, this is like weird stuff. And I do have another podcast that I haven't published yet, but it may be out soon, depending on when this is out. But anyway, who's an intuitive and she's a Reiki master and an angel reader. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about that, just the energy that we all are. So again, I started to be
bringing that up because it's important to address because I encounter a lot of people who have the same sort of hesitation. And I was very skeptical at first. You know, people kind of call it woo-woo, but the reality is when you actually remove any preconceived notions and you just look at it neutrally, right? We are energy. that's just a fact. Like, you can talk to the most brilliant scientists in the world and they will agree, like, your body is at the end of the day just made of energy, moving energy. And so with energy medicine, we're just working with the foundation of what we are, right? And there's different modalities to do that. And so your thoughts, right? What are thoughts? What are emotions? When I have an urge to do something or a desire not to do something, what is that? It's a wave of energy, an electrical impulse in the brain. Emotions we call energy in motion, right? So you can feel a wave of sadness, or when you start to cry, it's like this surge of energy. When you're angry, suddenly there's this surge of energy. And so at the end of the day, every moment of our experience is essentially just movement of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're working with, right? It's, we don't have to get into the world of spirits or evil. And it's the foundation of who we are, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so when you view it that way, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense that maybe like I have some energy. If you think of your body like a house, I think it's the perfect metaphor. We've got, you know, the circuits and electricity and wires, and energy circulates through your home. And I turn on a light switch to turn on the lights. But if a fuse blows, right, the light isn't going to turn on because the energy isn't flowing. It's not working properly. So we go to the fuse box and we fix whatever we need to fix. Like, that's what we're doing with energy work. If you have an energy block, if you have stuck energy, or you're not able to have your energy circulate or be balanced inside your body, you're not going to be feeling your best. You're not going to be functioning your best, whether that's how you're thinking or how you're feeling or your actions and choices. And so we are just working on removing energy blocks, which usually come from either repressed emotions or energy that we haven't fully processed from really difficult experiences. Or if you're somebody who, like me, was keeping things inside and keeping things a secret, right? You've got an accumulation of energy, which is really going to create a strong pain body. Or you've just got certain thought patterns and neural networks that create really deeply ingrained habit loops or habits of thinking and habits of behaving. Well, we can work on changing the habit loops in the brain, right? There's all different applications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, again, this can be greatly, again, helpful for the people that are really deeply in a struggle and for those of us just every single day. Because, again, I know that, again, we just have these, we have these, like, again, these patterns, these loops, these stories, whatever you want to call it, that just continue to play over and over in our head. And many times it's because of the past, right? And something that happened. And I, you know, my grandmother who said, oh, well, Moira always has a little trouble with things. Like, what is that? I don't even know when she said that. And she's been gone. She's been gone, God rest her soul, many years. I still remember that. You know, now I've worked hard to get past that, but what was that? So we take those stories, those things that we hear. And again, with the, even within eating recovery, as I've seen, you know, or the treatment, there's these thoughts keep coming up. Like,
exactly. It's like there's this tape that's just going on play, on repeat, round and round. And even if we consciously are trying to tell ourselves to think a different way or to feel a different way, a lot of times these patterns, they get subconsciously ingrained before the age of 12. And once that's part of our subconscious hardware, sort of like a computer hardware, right? You really have to actually go in and change the actual hardware system and upgrade it. Mm-hmm. And when you can do that, now you're operating from a new system. And you perfectly described an example of how memories become ingrained in our being and our belief system. And even if you know, that's ridiculous, like that's not true, there's an aspect of yourself that like has fully accepted and integrated that as part of yourself or your truth, mm-hmm. right? And so that's where we see self-sabotage, or we find ourselves doing something that we really don't want to be doing. And then we get really frustrated because there's such a like strong separation between how we're acting and how we want to be. And what we can do, like with tapping, is actually just go back to that memory, go back to that moment, go back to the thought. And we get to apply a tapping technique, which is going to integrate tapping on energy points connected to your body and energy meridians, while focusing on the thought or the feeling. And through a repetitive tapping motion, we get to actually weaken the impulse, we get to release any energy connected to that. And you can actually essentially notice a freedom from that thing, right? We get to actually change it. which is extremely exciting. Right.
Yeah. So let's just review that again. So so with tapping, with this EFT, emotional freedom technique, it's that you are, why don't you just kind of walk through,
sure.
say, for instance, if I was somebody like a client that you worked with, how, because I know how it works, but I would just want to make sure that people, how would you describe it? Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. So I like to describe it as sort of like psychological acupuncture, right? So its origins are definitely coming from a more Eastern medicine approach where we've got these energy meridians. And instead of using needles, we use fingers to tap on these points on the body. There's 9 points we use that are connected to your energy meridian. But we also integrate that with a cognitive process where we're saying out loud whatever it is that you are thinking or experiencing or feeling that is bothering you that you want to change. And there's a formula that we use. There's a process of what we say in conjunction with tapping that really starts to shift and move this energy. So it's going to either improve the neural networks and the patterns in the mind, or it's going to open up the energy blocks and clear it from the body. And there's actually now studies that are showing, because there's now a lot of science to show how and why this is working, because lots of people like myself were skeptical and we want evidence. Well, there was a study done by Dr. Dawson Church, and he found that tapping actually reduces cortisol levels in the body by 24 to 50% in a single session. So a lot of times when we're triggered or we're emotional, our body will go into this fight or flight response, or, you know, we'll get a really heightened state. Tapping is actually going to help your entire body relax, and it communicates to your brain, there is no danger. I don't have to go into my survival mode. Like, it's okay, I'm safe. And there was another study done by Dr. Peta Stapleton, and she looked specifically at tapping for food, people with their relationship to food, and they did brain scans, and they found that within a matter of 4 weeks, the regions of the brain that were lighting up in response to certain thoughts of food or eating food had shifted. So they actually were changing brain function through the tapping process, and that those results were lasting. So it's a really amazing way that you get to work with the body and your body wisdom to start to make changes that are aligned with how you want to be feeling, thinking, and behaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I think that, with, again, recovering from addictions, it's one thing to remove the bottle, if you will, or if it's one thing to take the drugs out, or, you know, with eating disorders, it's, you know, you still have to eat, but it's one thing to be weight restoring and eating, but there are these thoughts that different types of therapies can help, and exposure therapy and things like that. But this is something that I love, the hope that it can be changed permanently. And like, if somebody has a question, like, now granted, you said like in one session, you could decrease the cortisol from 24 to 50%. Like, what would, with the work that you've done, how long are we looking at that somebody might expect, you know, to be seeing someone working with this?
That's a really good question. And it is a case by case basis, because every single person is a unique body and being who's had their unique experience up until that point. Depending on your age, you may have had more experiences. If you had really difficult or traumatic experiences, depending on your support network, right? All of these things are going to affect essentially what we need to work on to help you on your process and getting at the sort of the root issues. So I've had some people who in a session or two, we are able to essentially make shifts where they feel like they've changed the trajectory and their relationship with food. And there are other people I've worked with, and we work on it for 2 years because there's just so much there, and the shifts are going to be gradual and take time. So it varies, but I'd say on average, the people I work with, it's usually anywhere from 3 to 6 months to really be able to experience change where, oh my gosh, I've made these changes and it's lasting, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people in a session or two feel great and then they'll slide back into the habits again because we haven't really cleared out everything or made the shifts permanent. And there's two things I just wanted to address based on what you said. And the first was just like these addictive tendencies, no matter what it is you're kind of addicted to, if you remove that substance, be it food or drugs, like a lot of times now you're left with like the issue that I was numbing with. And that's what's driving you oftentimes to use the substance. And with tapping, now we have a tool where instead of having to turn to a substance, self-medicate or numb, like I can actually now feel and free this thing that was driving me to need that in the first place. And from that state, I feel just more calm and at peace. And now the desire for the substance is much less, if not gone altogether. And that's what was, I think, most incredible to me is I thought I'm going to have to just use willpower the rest of my life to not give in to these urges. And that's exhausting. And I felt like a failure that I kept giving in. And with the tapping process, the urges just seemed to disappear. Like I wasn't even having to fight that force because it just wasn't even there anymore. And that was one of the most freeing experiences I had. And it felt so surreal because I just couldn't believe that like I was in this place where that wasn't even happening anymore.
It's awesome. I mean, that's true freedom because I've seen others that they move from one addiction to the other. And sometimes it's an addiction like alcohol, but then they move to now they're doing extreme running races, you know, and they're doing, you know, I've seen stories on TV about that, you know, that they move from one addiction to another.
Right.
But again, that's a beautiful way of explaining it, that this is a way to help to just decrease what's underneath that and take those urges away. And just, I love just that idea of just balancing things out on the inside.
Yes. And anyone who's been in the depths of that addiction or disorder will know, like I knew all the coping skills. I knew the distress tolerance skills, but in the moment when there's this force and switch that flips on, it's like nothing that I learned was after the fact, after that got turned on, it was useless. So it's like, let's just prevent that from even getting turned on in the first place. Like, can we do that? Is that possible? And I found that it is through, you know, these tools that I've discovered. And there might be other ways as well, but I think it's just really encouraging for people to know that, wow, like, let me really look at how I can get at the root of this, whatever path that may be that they take.
Yeah. And we were talking about this before, is that again, treatment is helpful, different modalities are helpful, and there seems to be something missing. And so that can really look at lasting change, you know, lasting change for the future. And as I've talked with other people, something in your tool belt, because I know that this is something that is really helpful to work with somebody that's been trained in it to really help you. And, you know, there's different apps that I've listened to and that do really great stuff with tapping. The Tapping Solution is a great app. And so you can listen to to those, just like I talk about guided meditation. Sometimes I need a guided meditation to really help me. But I think it's great, again, to work with somebody that's been trained with it, but then know that you can take this, put it in your tool belt, and know that when things get tough, or, you know, that you can pull this out of your tool belt and use this.
Exactly. It's so empowering to be able to have the ability to use it if you need in any moment when you're triggered or feeling really just frustrated or overwhelmed. And I think you bring up a really important point, which is that this is not do this instead of treatment, right? This is do this in addition to treatment. Like, make sure that you integrate this as one of the many components of what you're doing to try and really achieve the recovery you want. So it's just that missing piece, or one of the missing pieces you get to integrate in your process.
Right. And knowing that, again, as people have heard on the interviews, you know, this is not something that we can just snap our fingers and okay, you're done with treatment, you're done with your disorder, move on with life. This is something that continues. And again, you do the next right thing and the next right thing.
Exactly.
And it's a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And again, what a beautiful, hopeful, I'm so glad that you share this today, of just a hopeful place that people can start to take a look at as maybe something in addition to what their loved one has been going through now, or what they've gone through, just something addition. And I just, you know, as we wrap this up, I just want to encourage people to be open to it.
Yeah.
Again, that's what my friend said when she said, come to the salt room. And it's some energy clearing thing. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but you know, she knew that I was struggling and that I was struggling with life and my daughter and the chaos. And she said, come this. And I said, I could use a shift in my energy. So why not? I was open to that.
And did you experience that shift?
I did experience that shift. And I've continued to it was run by an intuitive who gave me some really interesting messages, which then lined up with some messages that someone else told me. And I was like, okay, there's got to be something to this. And so I've just been open to learning more and listening to someone else and going to some other healing. Or now my husband's trained in Reiki and the things that he's discovering. And that, you know, it's just really, again, it's, we say you can't make that, you can't make that shit up, you know? I mean, it's just like, you got, and so why not? Why not? That's what I say. Why not discover what's possible if we just open ourselves up to something a little bit different? Because if it ain't right for you, then just back away and move on, you know?
Exactly. And but that's what I tell people too. Try it. If it's not for you, great. Don't, then keep going until you, and try other things until you find your thing or what it is for you. This is my thing. I attract clients who they light up when I talk about it, or they're like, yes, this is, you know, you get this feeling in your body, this like makes you feel like, oh, I just have to know more, right? Then listen to that. And you'll just through trying, you'll be able to tell based on how you feel after you do it. Are you feeling lighter and brighter and like have a little skip in your step? Like pay attention to the small shifts and let that influence your decision about whether or not you keep doing something. And the last thing I just want to address, which is so important, is to just know that with energy work and energy healing, like we're not healing you, right? Your body is the ultimate healer. We're just helping like a mechanic on a car to just kind of move around some energy or blocks so that your body gets to function optimally and help you feel your best, right? Mm-hmm. So it's never outside of you. I just want people to know that like the ultimate power is always within you and it's always your body. And we just assist you and your body on the journey to be able to do that as easily as possible without blocks or anything inhibiting you.
Right. Right. And I, again, remember, you know, like just think of chiropractic, you know, they removing those blocks so that, you know, same thing with cranial sacral, they're removing the blocks so that the fluids can flow. So I like that you brought that up. You know, if people want to learn more, how can they find you, Sarah, and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, they could either go to my website, sarahspears.com, or find me on Instagram, Sarah_Spears. And they can always send me a message. I do have a few free resources available on my website, and I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so, I just love all this. And again, loved all that you shared, and really just, again, hope that people are open to it, because I feel that, again, as we said before, this can be a missing piece and just some assistance. Again, there's lots of things that can help us. And this is just another thing that can help us or your loved one with just moving towards that place of healing and just really living your best life. And again, if you've listened, if you continue to listen to me, you know, that's what I'm all about. Find things that can help you live your best life. And so I'm so thankful you reached out to me, Sarah. So grateful to be connected with you. I know we'll stay connected as time goes on. And again, to your listeners, thanks for coming back. I hope you found value with this. And if you're interested, again, reach out to Sarah, because she's a wealth of information. And this is only a piece of what she does. You do some really awesome things too. So again, thanks for listening again, everybody. Thanks, Sarah. And
thank you.
Go ahead and again, I encourage you to just continue to do things to help you live your best life, because we all deserve it. And we'll talk to you all next time. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you hear, please leave me a 5-star review. Share this podcast with others and make sure you hit the subscribe button. Come on over to Facebook too. We have a great Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast tribe group, and we'd love to welcome you there. Now, do you have a story to share or know someone that does? please connect with me. You'll find the link in the show notes, and I'd love to hear from you, hear your story, and feature you on one of the upcoming podcast episodes. And perhaps you are ready to find your way back to you. You'd like to reclaim your health in your life. Send me an email, connect with me, simply moira@gorskywellness.com, or jump over to Instagram and connect with me there as Green Gorski, or you can also find me on Facebook. I'll connect with you and just show you some simple steps and show you a way to reclaim your life and your health today. Thanks for listening. Until next time.